The following is a paid program sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. The views expressed on the program are solely those of the sponsor. CFund does not endorse the views expressed or the goods or services promoted on the program. This is Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFund, 1410 AM.
Good afternoon. I'm Candace Newton, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on 1410 AM CFund, the show that educates and assists women with issues they could face every day. We want to thank my official hair experts at the Evelyn Charles Salon for their impeccable hair care, cut, color, and style. You can see our website for more information under our sponsors. In the first half of the show, our topic today is sharpening the focus on sports. We'll be focusing on being an athlete and being a sport parent. We have wonderful guests in studio with me today, Sandra Stevenson, President and CEO of Sport BC, and Brock Turner, Manager of Promotions for Sport BC. Segment two is continuing our discussion on sharpening the focus in sports, focusing on the high-performance athlete and coaching qualities with our guests, Coach Wally Buono, Head Coach and General Manager of the BC Lions, Louis Pisaglia, Football Hall of Famer and Director of Community Relations for the BC Lions, and Bob Leonarduzzi, Vancouver sports icon for two decades and Director of Soccer Operations for the Whitecaps. Next week, Falls Creek Surgical is, we have our guest, Dr. Roy Jackson, on gynecology. You women would like to hear that. That's really important. And on the second half, we've got Lauren Maincourt, MLA, Vancouver Burrard, talking about safety in schools. So I just want to begin today's discussion on sharpening our focus on sports with stating what a privilege it is to have you, Sandra, President of Sport BC and CEO, with me in the studio today. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you, Candace.
And Brock Turner, Manager, Sport Promotion for Sport BC. Welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, Brock's got quite an interesting bio as well. You're an athlete yourself. Both you and Sandra are both athletes as well, which is awesome to have you here. So what I want to do is, first of all, talk about Sport BC and what all about the organization. Sandra, can you tell us what Sport BC is?
Yeah, Sport BC is the Federation for Amateur Sport. It's been around since 1966. And there are 84 member organizations, mostly what you would see be provincial sport organizations, tennis or soccer. There's a sport for everyone. And then our related sport partners. They have a collective membership of 840,000 individuals. And about 50% of those would be 14 and under.
Wow.
So in some ways, we are a child advocate for making sure that sport builds strong, healthy communities.
That's unbelievable. That's a huge amount of our kids.
Yeah, it is. And so our job actually is we get to do, I say we get to do a lot of the hard stuff in sport because we deal with a lot of the challenges that people face,
okay,
making sure that the program is safe and that the coaches are trained and that we look after all those volunteers that make sport happen. And sport actually has the second largest number of volunteers in any sector as far as making sure that the programs are there. Most of them are volunteer driven.
That's true. You don't really think about that, but it is true. Now, can you tell us a little bit about kids sport?
Yes. In order to deal with those issues that impact sport, we have our own charity, which is called Kids Sport, so all kids can play. So Sport BC raises money through a central fund and Sport 14 community funds, and we pay for the registration fees for children so that nobody gets left on the sidelines.
And I want to tell you that I didn't realize the connection between yourself and Sport BC, but I know my own children have benefited from that, and I want to thank you
for
implementing that, because they were able to, in times when things are really tough with us as a family, it was awesome to be able to get that grant and to help out.
Well, it's amazing how just $100 or $60 or $70 makes a difference as to whether or not a family can put their children into sport. Mm-hmm. And when their children are in sport, they're more involved with their community and they have a better chance of adopting healthy lifestyle and healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. And it really does make a difference. And to know that $100, that can go towards some fees, and then you can sort of look around for other people to borrow equipment or, you know, sort of trade equipment, and it does enable that child to be in sports. So getting right into our topic today, we're going to talk about the goal and the foundation for all of our kids, regardless of their level of involvement in sports. So we want to talk about the real purpose for sports with kids today. So Sandra, let's talk about the age appropriateness in sports.
Okay, before we get going on that, I just want to emphasize once again that when you have your children involved in sport, it's all about healthy lifestyle, healthy self-esteem. So when you get into looking at, well, what would be appropriate for my child, you have to remember that healthy lifestyle, healthy self-esteem. And not every child is going to be in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of sports, and you have to look at what's in it for the child? What's in it for the child in regards to, is it age appropriate? So an activity with a lot of rules and an emphasis on winning is not in the best interest of a child that's 4 or 5 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah, so definitely you have to look at the age appropriateness of the sport. You then have to look at, there's a family commitment here. And those of you that are out there that spend many hours every week in the car driving your kids from sporting activity to sporting activity, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at family time. How is this going to impact the family in regards to time, in regards to money as well, because some activities are more expensive than others. It's cheaper to play soccer than it is to go into gymnastics or hockey. That's just the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess finally, I would say that you need to really look at who is it that's actually there instructing your child? Who's your child spending time with? Now, in most cases, it will be a volunteer coach. Hopefully, some allowance has been made for that coach to have some training. In some cases, they will be paid coaches, and usually the sports that have more risk involved, swimming or gymnastics would be two examples, probably alpine skiing, would have paid coaches involved.
And that's it guarantees that you're getting a quality person, or is that the idea behind paying
coaches? My recommendation to parents would be to do spot checking of what is actually going on in the activity that your children are in. So don't be one of those parents that has to sit through every minute of every practice and every game, because in the end, this should be about the child, not about you. If you go and you spot check, then what you're doing is you're paying more attention to what's actually happening in that activity that your child's involved in. So go at the beginning, go in the middle, go in the end. See how it is that those adults actually interact with your children. You know, some are very naturally are able to bring the level of instruction down to what children can understand, because for children under 15, a lot of it is about play. It's about play, and it's about being able to go out there and do something with your friends, particularly for
girls. It's
very social. So healthy lifestyle, healthy self-esteem.
Yeah, no, those are excellent points. And, you know, and you're thinking about, you know, most parents think, well, I've got to sit through all the practices and all the games and I have to be there like 24/7 so my child knows I support them. But that's actually not a balanced approach, because it does then become...
Yeah. It's not, you know, there are several things, though, that parents can do in order to make it consistent and really fun and a positive experience for the child. First of all, get your child there on time.
Oh, that's so important.
Okay, just get them there on time and make sure before you're going to go out the door, or hours before actually, make sure they've got the proper clothing and the proper equipment and not running around at last minute trying to see where it is. Okay, so those two things first and foremost will make it important. Let your child experience, I hate to say this, but sometimes it's a place where you're going to experience failure. There's nothing wrong with missing the goal or not being able to do a cartwheel or whatever it happens to be. You know, the children have to learn that it's okay to experiment, and maybe they're not going to be successful.
That's actually a really good point. I have a writing on my wall that says, success is going from failure to failure without a lack of enthusiasm. And it was Sir Winston Churchill that said that. And it is important, because you learn from your failures and you learn to be human and you learn to find out that it's okay if you don't always do it right.
Yeah, and as they get older, they have to learn that there are consequences for their actions. So, in fact, maybe they won't pass that swimming lesson. That badge, because they haven't paid proper attention, or maybe their team, because they haven't gone out and done that extra little bit of work on their own in the backyard that's required to actually make that team. But if we can teach them through sport that there are consequences for their actions, they're going to be better adults with healthy self-esteem.
Yeah, they will. They will be better adults. Now, Brock, you have, you're a parent. You've been an athlete involved in swimming and coaching, and you've got quite an extensive biography yourself. Now, you've got little kids in sports. What sports have you chosen to involve your little ones in?
Well, we started with skating. Swimming started with skating right now. In fact, I'm missing their skating lessons.
Well, that's all right. You're going to spot check.
I'm doing the spot checking. We got into things that I was comfortable with to start off with, which being a former professional swim coach, so I got them into swimming. And I actually made the conscious effort to stay away from actually coaching them at all, probably maybe when they're maybe a little bit older and they go, hey, Dad, can you help me out with my strokes? But you know, they're doing the learn to swim thing, and then they're, you know, Sam is doing some hockey right now and really enjoying that. And it's because it was, you know, he's Canadian, so he has to learn how to skate.
Because you were a former athlete yourself and because you were a former coach, are you more conscientious of the fact that you need to be careful about your maybe interference or perceived interference in the sport or with the coaches? I mean, your kids are little right now, but...
Well, yeah, to a certain extent. I've actually coached the T-ball for Sam last year, and for both of them, I'll probably do the teams this year. And that's fine because we have a lot of fun, and most of the parents don't have any experience in coaching. So mm-hmm. they saw me out there and said, you know how to coach. Well, why don't you get out there? So I did. Mm-hmm. So that was great. But but it was fun. It was really fun to play with the kids. And from my own experience, I'm incredibly competitive. And it took me back to being actually, let's just have fun with the game. Mm. And it took me back to when I was back, I'm originally from Saskatoon, and we used to play outside all the time.
Yeah.
Play in the fields and do stuff. And it was fantastic to be able to do that. And the kids don't necessarily get that experience these days.
No, it's true, because we're too serious. It's become like a serious. I believe there's a degree of commitment.
Well, there is. Interesting, I was just telling Sandra before this, I've been doing sort of, as people have heard, I'm going to be on the radio and speaking about this subject. They get into the topic of the interesting point is I'm finding people are actually deprogramming their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so much putting them into tons of stuff. They may concentrate on one or two activities, but yeah. They're mixing it up a little bit, but they're deprogramming and letting them play, which is actually refreshing.
And actually allowing them to be people and yes. human beings.
Yeah, having fun and playing.
Yeah, I've been known to pull my kids out and say, that's it, you've been doing too much and you're going out for the day. You've got to go do something, like not to turn the team down or anything like that, not to interfere with their commitment, but just, you see that they need to be kids. And I don't know about you, but as an adult, I do better when I enjoy something. When I'm actually having fun at it, I excel at it a lot better than when I feel stressed and pressured. I don't work too well under stress. So now I want to continue, Sandra, talking about activity level for kids, the cardio, the strength, the balance. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. When you're again evaluating what your kids should do, you have to look at it. Well, what do you want them to get out of it? We've all heard about the problem that we're having with obesity. So mm-hmm. we need to look at sport as a solution to combating obesity. So what do you need? Well, you'd like them to be physically active.
Mm-hmm.
So don't pick something where they're sitting around a lot. Some sports are really good at developing just basic body awareness. There's lots of early young age programs for children that are young in gymnastics. That's really good because mm-hmm. you develop that overall kind of body awareness and balance. Other programs help you with strength. Some help you with discipline. If you're looking at something that would help discipline and strength and balance, something like karate or judo may be very good for your child.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so you have to really look at it a little bit strategically so that your child develops that approach that, this is really neat, mm-hmm. to get up and be physically active every day. And in an environment where it's more about fun than it is about, who is necessarily getting the gold medal around their neck.
Right, exactly. And then that automatically makes them better at what they're doing because there is that enjoyment and they have that sense of accomplishment that they have, like, I can do this. And then if you do find something that's appropriate for them, then ultimately it will help them in every area physically because they're more involved in it and they'll put more energy in towards something mm-hmm. that's suitable for them rather than sort of maybe mom or dad's favorite sport and we want you in there.
But there is an impact on mom and dad. Absolutely yeah. an impact on mom and dad because there's very few sports that your child will be involved in that there won't be some level of commitment that the parent's going to have to make. And certainly I'd like to talk a little bit more about that because there's the kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of parents.
Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna talk about that in just a second here. So actually, Brock, you are a parent with commitment and understand the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes along with commitments. And I know there's people listening right now. I've got a cousin who I know this woman has no time for her kids, her lifestyle by her own profession because her kids are all over the place in sports. So tell me, you want to just talk about that for a minute?
Well, I think it's about being able to find out what the child likes, and there's lots of different things. I just wanted to add quickly to, Sandra spoke about certain activities and being strategic. There's a certain theory that talks about four different areas to actually get kids in, and that's gymnastics, which again has lots of different kinesthetic and body awareness, and swimming because it's actually working in a different mode and it's very mm-hmm. good physical activity. Then you have track and field because you're running, jumping, and throwing.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of activity there. And then also dance. And then they get to music, rhythm,
And that's really fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun with that. But getting back to the commitment part of it, it's about being able to find out, you know, you're driving your kids to a certain extent. And I mean, not necessarily driving them to the, you know, you're driving to all these places, but you're driving them in. But are they enjoying it? Are they having fun? And I think part of the spot checking we have to do, although we're spot checking where they, what their activities are, we need to spot check with them and ask them, are you having fun? Mm-hmm. Are you playing enough? Do you need to do something else? Do you just need to go and blow some steam off, just having some fun?
Yeah, and watching for their stress levels, watching when, you know, like really, I mean, think as all parents, we need to be responsible for our kids, watching out for their inner beings and making sure that they are balanced. I mean, we all know our kids, they all have different personalities, mm-hmm. and we can tell when they're off.
Yeah. Well, it was as Sandra was talking about getting your kids to activities on time. It's about, there's where the stress level begins.
Yeah.
If they're having fun, it's because they, you know, they got into the relaxing and they get into the flow. But if mom and dad are, you know, forcing food down their throat, throwing stuff in a bag and out the front door to drive, yeah. you know.
Chaos.
Drive like a maniac.
And then the child's supposed to, you know, walk out of there going, I am so cool.
Exactly.
I can perform. Yeah. And they're just like mental. They're just going mental.
I think that every soccer program should provide 2 pairs of socks per child. Because there are so many times where you can't find the second sock.
And I know there's a monster that eats them in the washing machine.
It's the hose zone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they should definitely be given 2 pairs of socks.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, coming back up after the break, we're going to continue our discussion with Sandra Stevenson, President and CEO of Sport BC, Brock Turner, Manager of Sport Promotion for Sport BC, on our subject of sharpening the focus in sports, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. We now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. This is Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women. I'm your host, Candace Newton, and we're here with Sandra Stevenson and Brock Turner of Sport BC. And before the break, we were just talking about getting the kids to the sport activity on time, which then brings up the role of the parent and their responsibility in sports. And Sandra, I'd like you to just talk to us a little bit about the role of the parent in sports. And I think that's really important because we are all involved, the parent and the child, and we all have our different roles. So do you want to just talk about the role of the parent?
Definitely. It's definitely a family decision as to what you get yourself into. And different sports have different requirements of the parent. Sometimes it's just having to cut up the oranges and bring them on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're expected to sell raffle tickets or chicken or manure or whatever it happens to be. And you know that, you know, if you expect your neighbor to buy from your child, that you're going to be buying from there. So there's all of that piece that you have to deal with. And sometimes, you know, you're tapped on the shoulder to coach or perhaps officiate. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the most difficult positions is when you decide to be one of the volunteers that's going to be running a sport club. Mm. So then you get into the whole kind of sport politics piece because you have to decide how money's going to be spent, who's going to be on the rep team, you know, whether or not there can be new uniforms, et cetera, et cetera. So there's just a lot of roles that you're going to have to be part of or step up to the plate on. And that's very difficult in today's society because everyone is just going rush everywhere.
Out.
They're taxed out and they're either coming from single parent families or both parents are working. So it's a trick shot to sort of figure out how you're going to fit it all in.
And that's when you get sort of creative with other parents and you carpool and you make different choices. And what about the behavior of the parents between the parent and the officials? Well, how do we handle that? In wisdom.
Well, I think that first and foremost, you got to realize that you don't live through your children. Mm-hmm. You should live with your children. So just because your child missed the goal or did something that wasn't what maybe perhaps the rest of the teammates or the coach expected doesn't mean it's not a reflection on you. It's all a learning process.
Exactly.
And so somehow, I don't know, we just let our imaginations get away with us when we're standing on the side of the field or at the rink. And it's amazing. You know, people can be just like normal people. And then they get in an ice rink, and all of a sudden they're screaming at kids. You know, it's like, get a grip on life, right? So there is
Which is an indication that they're way too involved. They've gone beyond the boundaries of what's normal involvement.
Yeah.
When you're freaking out like that over sports as a parent, and your kids are like 5 years old.
So
So what are, you're out of proportion.
Yeah, what are they learning from that? So in order to try to assist with that, and that's why I think it's better to spot check than sit there all the time, because then it's about your children, it's about your child rather than about you living through your child.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are some tools that are in place, and the provincial government has assisted our work with Sport BC on a series of different kinds of tools that parents can look at and learn from in regards to what is appropriate. In some sports, they actually have to sign a parent's code of conduct.
Which I think is actually a very good idea.
Yeah.
And that should probably be across the board and should go along with the registration of your child.
Yeah. And so quite often when that parent's code of conduct, or if they're not behaving properly, either they're upset that somebody else's child perhaps got more attention, or they made a team that their child didn't make. Mm-hmm. And other times, and I don't know, I actually feel a very sorry for officials, because I think for me, officials often are unsung heroes.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they're the ones that actually see the whole field of play. You know, it's not easy being that baseball umpire, having to stand behind that kid that isn't really sure where the bat is and make a decision whether or not it was a strike or not.
Yeah, you're usually loved or hated.
Yeah.
If you side for the other team, you're a hero. And if you make a decision against the other, that team, you're hated and there is no balance.
Yeah, and oftentimes the officials, because they get to see the whole field of play, they're ones that parents can go to and ask, for some advice. Mm-hmm. Actually, oftentimes the officials have more understanding of the technical side of sport than the volunteer coach does. So I guess I would ask that the parents actually see the officials as their friends. And, we don't really want any more parents jumping over the boards and taking their frustration out on volunteer officials.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that comes down to really what we're saying all here is that there is an attitude of excellence and maturity and behavior that we should be implementing socially in everywhere that we go, and then of course in sports. And that's just, we're talking about mature adult behavior and teaching those kids the same example for that kind of behavior.
I mean, of those 840,000, whatever the number happens to be on any given day, there's only a very small percentage of those people that are high performance athletes that are going to go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, it's about healthy lifestyle, healthy self-esteem, and it should be fun.
Yeah, and which is the whole purpose behind sports and getting our kids involved in it in the first place. If it comes as a result of their involvement in sports that they demonstrate and manifest behavior that gives them that Olympic potential, then that's a bonus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's a topic for another day, but get a plug in there. I think that sometimes we don't pay enough attention to making sure that we support high performance. Doesn't matter whether it's music or art or sport. You know, everyone should be able to be the best that they can be.
And we do need to get behind our artists and our athletes and our performers here in this country, because we certainly have a lot of talent here, a tremendous amount, and we do need to support them because they are worth every bit of it. And ultimately, we all benefit from them.
Yeah, and that's why Sport BC was one of the founding supporters of the Olympic bid.
We actually
put money on the table to get the whole thing going. And it's not necessarily for the person to have the gold medal around their neck. It's about the values of what the Olympic movement stand for. You know, the fairness and the integrity and making sure that sport can play a role in everyone's life. That's why we're involved in it. And we really look forward to making sure that that aspect of the Olympics comes out loud and clear.
And you know what, when we have something like that, it requires all of us to be better. Better in our conduct, better in our attitudes, better in the excellence that we demonstrate outwardly, and a good example for our kids. Our kids really need an example from us now. They need us to be, just that much better for them and a better role models for them. And we can start off in the small little sports areas and teaching little Susie and little Johnny at 4 or 5 years old that he doesn't stomp off the field when he doesn't get it together, and that you don't go and punch the other little kid because he didn't like the way he, handled something.
And the parents have to do the same thing. They don't stomp off the field when they think that their child got less time to play, or when they didn't like a call. Model the way for your kids.
Yeah, it's right. And that is an opportunity at those moments to say to our kids at that moment, look at this is how we handle ourselves when things aren't perfect. This is what we want to do and develop their character. Brock, what do you have to say?
Well, I was just saying that you have to choose on the way you want to be able to. you have control about how you feel, and it's being able. And I think if anything, sports is able to teach you that, that it's your internal, how you deal with things internally will help externally.
And doesn't it manifest?
Absolutely.
Manifests what
you've
got.
Think that the control is outside of you, for example, if you're getting after the official and the official made the wrong call and that turned the game, whatever. But you know, you're not looking at what you're doing and what you can control within. We used to have this thing in all the sports that I was in is don't let the official have to make a call.
Exactly. You know, take their power away by behaving yourself.
You're like, have fun with it. You're playing the game. If you know, if it comes down to the call, you probably won't get the right one. But it was because if that's what you're relying externally from the official side, you know, they're people too. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to write a book. Officials are people too.
But, yeah, you know, that's good.
I was reading a thing about a baseball umpire. He had to make up basically within a 7-inning game, had to make 146 calls. Well, chances are, you know, he's probably 95% of the time he's right, maybe even 98. So he's going to make some mistakes. Everybody does.
Well, he's human.
And it's being able to understand it, you know.
And how do we cope when those mistakes are made?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's our opportunity to say to our kids, look at guys, this is a perfect demonstration. And you're right. If we're adults and we're lambasting people, we have to take a look at our side and go, I guess my coping mechanisms aren't as mature as I thought they were.
And oftentimes your children are mirroring what they see. So if you look at that behavior and actually they're talking like you and acting like you, then you should basically assess what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to define the lines. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Sandra, for being here on the show today and talking about this extremely important topic. I think we could go on forever about it because it is really important. And Brock, for your input as well. Please check out the website, www.sportbc.ca, or you can find it on my website, www.unlockingsecrets.com. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And on coming up in the second half, Coach Wally Bueno, Louis Pisagli, and Bob Leonarduzzi will continue our discussion on sharpening the focus in sports. That's here on Unlocking Secrets for Women.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. We now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on 1410 CFUN. We're joined in studio for part two with Coach Wally Bueno, General Manager and Head Coach for the BC Lions, an impressive record of consistency with a history of winning. Welcome, Coach Wally.
Well, thank you very much. And in my consistency, there have been some women that have been very instrumental in my success.
Oh, really? Well, I'd like to hear about that in a minute. Okay, well, thanks. And, of course, our own recognizable Vancouver native and football legend, Louis Pisaglia.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Louis. Louis is the Director of Community Relations for the BC Lions. And finally, we're pleased to have with us Bob Leonarduzzi. He's also a Vancouver sports icon and Hall of Famer for over two decades. Bob's the current director of the soccer operations for Whitecaps FC. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Candace. May I point out, too, that it's three Italians that you have on the show?
I know.
Is
I don't know
not
what's
incredible?
Going on. I don't know. Something's happening here. Any other Italians hiding in the background? Well, as long as they don't have any contracts out for me, I don't care.
Now, be careful about your comments now.
Okay, thanks, Coach. Coaching from the sidelines. Okay, so I really wish I had time to talk with all of you about all of your accomplishments because you're very, very talented people, and we're very fortunate to have this kind of talent in Vancouver and British Columbia. But that would take an entire show. So we're going to just continue our discussion on sharpening the focus in sports. So, Coach Wally, you've got an excellent reputation. You were a great player yourself, and now you're coaching, and you seem to be able to achieve results. Obviously, from an amateur level and high-performance level, there are differences with how one would coach. But what are the common qualities shared across the board, whether it's amateur sports or high-performance sports? What are some good qualities that coaches really need to have? Because there are going to be some coaches listening here today. Do you have any advice for them?
Well, I think the first advice I would always give any coach is, one, is to be yourself. It's always easier to be who you are. I think the players respect you and respond to you much easier that way. You know, I truly believe in being honest with the players and communicating with them. You know, just simple, I think, life skills. You know, athletes like to be, directed. They like to know what their boundaries are. And they also like to know that they're being supported. And, you know, part of communication is all of that. And, you know, from our perspective, I think the more direct you can be with them, you know, obviously the more they can enhance their own careers and their skills.
Oh, that's really good information for them. What about the kids that are dreaming right now that they're going to be some kind of high-performance athlete? What kind of preparation? I mean, you're coaching these adults that are products of some parenting at some point back there. What makes a great high-performance athlete from a coaching point of view? What can the parents do to start to build these kids?
Well, I think one of the things the parents obviously have to do is first of all, is support and, give them that nurturing and that love that they need. And, athletes, like anybody else, are going to go through their highs and their lows, and they have to know who's in their corner. When things are going great for them, sometimes a parent can keep a nice even keel, and when things aren't going very well, they're the ones that, put their arm around the son or the daughter and build their spirits up. And, athletes, no matter what level, want to be supported, want to know that there's a common ground and that there's something that they can always fall back on. And, the parent, and I'm a parent myself who has athletes, and, I'm hoping that my kids feel that way about me.
Well, that's really good. What about from you as a coaching perspective? We've got parents who demand a lot from the coaches of their kids. How do you want parents to communicate? What advice would you give parents for them to communicate with you regarding their kids? How would you tell parents to communicate with the coaches? Because we're less than
ideal.
Excellent. Yeah, less than ideal.
Well, I think, one, you have to understand what the coach's rules are. I know that there was a coach that coached my daughter in soccer, and he was very strict about parent interference. And, not that he just did not want to confuse, the daughter or the son. So there's only one coach. But, I think the coaches, too, can communicate with the parents in other aspects, whether there's a social problem or a health problem or a confidence problem. And I think it's important, sometimes for the coach to get that parent's help in those issues. But when it's all said and done, the coach has to have the ability to separate the player from the family, but yet the coach also has to have the ability to use the family as a support group because the coach is one person. You usually have 20, if it's a soccer team, kids on your team, and you need sometimes support in other venues that the parents can provide for you.
That's good. Now, sort of just moving on to a different thing, what makes a good player for you, Coach Wally? What makes a good player?
The ones with the best skills, usually. But I think there's more to it than that. Like any good coach, you always look for a player that's got tremendous competitive spirit. He's got a tremendous desire to succeed. One, he gets along well with his teammates and with the coach. And then when it's all said and done, I think you have to really look at the great players, whether young or not. They have a tremendous desire to succeed and to do well, and they have a work ethic that goes along with all of that.
And that really is where the parents come in and sort of building those values into their kids.
Well, that's true. The work ethic that the parents have, the respect they have for each other and for the children, hopefully is reflected in how their children feel about other people.
Yeah, that's very true. And we're going to talk about that more in a few minutes coming up on Unlocking Secrets for Women. We'll be back with Coach Wally Buono, Louis Pisagli, and Bob Leonarduzzi here on 1410 CFUN.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. We now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and this is Candace Newton on Unlocking Secrets for Women, and we're joined here with Coach Wally Buono of the BC Lions, Louis Pisagli, a legend Hall of Famer here in British Columbia in football, and Bob Leonarduzzi, our own Hall of Famer in soccer here in BC. We're discussing with Coach Wally, we're talking about what makes a great coach. But I want to hear back a little bit from you, Louis, regarding you're well-known and loved and respected in this community, and I want a different perspective from you. We know that parents mean well when it comes to their kids in sports. And from your experience, what are some of the right things that parents and kids can do for themselves to make sports more enjoyable?
I think to make it more enjoyable, they should treat it as a family endeavor, that they go out and support each other. It's great to see, when you see it, parents out there watching their kids practice, staying there, watching the whole practice. They're there for them to pick, when they're finished, to take them home. at games. Not everybody, not all, you know, not both parents sometimes can make it to a game, but to have somebody representing the family to watch your child play. I had probably the most fun I've ever had, and the thrills I probably got the most was having my parents and my brother and family members coming out to watch you play, whether it was soccer or football. And it makes you feel that it is a family endeavor and it's something fun to do. And that's the key about being involved in sports is first of all, making it fun. And secondly, there's characteristics in the games that you play that teach you to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. It is true. Those are very important values for kids to learn. And sports is a fantastic place for them to learn those things. And for you, Bobby, how about what kind of memories did you have as a younger guy in sports, and what supported you and what helped you to become the athlete that you became?
Well, I actually, Louis was a good soccer player, believe it or not. He could have gone that route in his career, but and we played at the same venue, a place called Clinton Park, and the memories that I have growing up were exactly what Louis has talked about, is my family being at the games, and in particular my dad. And my dad, as far as I'm concerned, was the model dad, in that he was there, wasn't running up and down the sidelines, allowed the coaches to do their job. And then at the end of it all, when we got home, he might offer some constructive criticism. But and that's the way that I've tried to parent our two kids. And I'm a firm believer that you need to have a passion for what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I was passionate about soccer. And that's the route that I wanted to go. They never dissuaded me from that. And when you talk about the percentage of kids that actually will eventually make it to the professional level, very, very minimal. You're probably talking about 1-1.5% of the kids. But you don't ever want to stop those kids from dreaming about that. And along the way, I think you want to prepare them for the fact that they're probably not going to make it, but you don't ever want to dash that enthusiasm, nor do you want to go the other way and make it the be-all and end-all, because then there's too much pressure on the kid.
That's true, because that really is important. I know for my son, I had my boys were in rep hockey. My daughter was a gymnast. You know, and of course, they have dreams as kids. I'm like, Mom, you know, I want to be in the NHL. And I'm like, well, that's great, honey. Just in case that doesn't mm-hmm. happen, mm-hmm. what can we do as a backup? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Louis, I know you've got a teaching certificate from UBC, and, you know, education is important to you. What about after you're a high-performance athlete, the career is, you know, finished, your physical body's sort of done? How do you incorporate back in, and how important is education?
Well, I think at every level with our kids, whether they're young high school kids, universities, to realize that they're playing a sport. They're, like Bob said, only a small percentage ever make it to the professional levels, that they should create opportunities for themselves to have doors open where they can go out there and do what they want to do outside of playing that sport. And that's whether it's education, the education field, whether it's the trade field, whether it's something to do in the arts, but to find a niche in their life that will satisfy them and take care of them the way that sports did up to the age of whenever they quit. Because as we know, I mean, Bob and I and Coach have had long careers in one way or another, but that rarely happens. So you've got to be prepared. And I think that stems from the parents talking to the kids, the educators, the teachers that, you know, put kids up on a pedestal and say, you know what, this guy's going to make it all the way. Yeah. But you know what, it is education first, and that gives you an opportunity to do other things in life.
It's true. And to complete that process, because you're really not a complete human being anyways if you always only focus on something. And your body's, you know, after a while, they wear out, and that's it. You've got to have something else to focus on, something else to build on, so that you continue with that sense of self-worth. Do we know, or do any of you guys know, or you, Coach Wally, have any knowledge or awareness of people that have not had an education and have, you know, sort of after they've maybe been a high-performance athlete, have sort of stumbled in the dark and not really gone too far, or really had a hard time with achieving because they didn't have that educational background?
Well, you do know of people that I've played with, and probably Louis and Bob can say the same thing, who, you know, who haven't been able to adjust into the real world and really have no life skills. But you don't hear too often of these, you know, these kind of guys, but or girls, if that's fact. But, you know, too often you run across people that are not doing very well, you know, from that perspective. And it's unfortunate, as Louis said, they focus so much on their sport that they forget that really when you look at your lifespan, that's really just a short time.
It is true. And, you know, it's really important that we do instill into our kids that sense of complete life, that sports is a time period in their life and they can still remain active afterwards, as I know you guys are, but that they need to have sort of a business sense and being able to take care of themselves for, you know, they need to know that they're going to have a family in the future and be able to provide for themselves and to use some of their other talents and skills, because it's not just all sports. They have a brain, they've got education, they know how to use it. And there's very few people that ever get, you know, a Michael Jordan endorsement for Nike for the rest of your life that's going to, you know, take care of
you. Not only that, a lot of the kids or the young women or young boys out there have the tools, their hands are tools. It doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to be education with mathematics social studies or whatever it may be. It could be creative with their hands and so forth. There is other opportunities. I always looked at football and sports as a bonus mm-hmm. to what I was doing. It was a passion for me, so it was an added bonus, so I loved doing it. But always in the back of my mind, I knew it was going to end. And you realize in sport that you might be able to play it at a certain level, but at that level, that's going to end at some point in time. So what are you going to do then? And a lot of the guys in the professional ranks sometimes forget about that, and all of a sudden they're cut or they're asked to retire, and then they don't know what to do with themselves. It takes them a period of time to adjust.
Yeah, and that's somewhere where I think parents can sort of help that out. Okay, so we're going to be back in a moment on Unlocking Secrets for Women with our guests, Coach Wally Bueno, Louie Pisaglia, and Bob Leonarduzzi. That's here on 1410 CFUN.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. We now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back and we're continuing our discussion on sharpening the focus in sports with our guests, Coach Wally Bueno, Louis Pisaglia, and Bobby Leonarduzzi. And I'm feeling really comfortable with you guys, so if I start calling you Lou A and Bob A.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just being here.
Candace.
Thank you. Okay, so, you know, the reality is that very soon, in a few years from now, and especially I think it's a short time for the athletes that are in preparation right now, the Olympics is coming to our city. And I think regardless of people's feelings over that topic, we're going to be a host for this city, and I think that the host city for the Olympics. And I think it's important for us to really raise up the bar in sports, raise up the bar in the sense of excellence, regardless of whether we're Olympic athletes or not, to raise up that attitude and towards sports in the city. Bobby, for you, what does the Olympics mean for you coming into town, and how do you want to sort of maybe send a message to those kids that are preparing, or, you know, that have got an opportunity to, maybe not even the athletes themselves, but just amateur athletes that are just it's going to be a sports city soon?
Well, any kids that are in and around that age that could actually be competing at the 2010 Olympics, you want them to dream. You want them to feel like they've really got a chance to be there in their respective sport. And I would suggest to them that that they strive for that dream. And if they happen to fall a bit short, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's that should be the objective. But along the way, if they apply all the proper principles, do the best that they can do, and it sounds kind of hokey when you suggest that, but that's all that we're really looking for is each individual needs to perform to the best of their capabilities. And if they happen to fall a bit short as a result of that, it's not a problem. And so on the subject of the Olympics and perhaps there being naysayers out there that feel that we should be doing other things as opposed to the Olympics, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but what an unbelievable opportunity. Mm-hmm. The whole of the world is going to be focused in on Vancouver up to the 2010 Olympics and then during. And we've got such a beautiful city to showcase we should all be doing whatever we can to welcome the world in 2010.
Yeah, and I think be very, very gracious hosts.
Exactly.
I think we need to be very gracious hosts. How about you, Coach Wally? What are your feelings about, parents or kids or really even our attitude in the city in preparation for the Olympics? Because I think we need to develop a sort of a great attitude. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I was very fortunate to be in Montreal for the 76 Olympics and in Calgary for the 88 Olympics. And I think the one thing that it gives the whole city, country, is an anticipation of something that's going to happen. And, you know, when you look at life in general, I think the big thing that makes people excited is anticipation of something happening. And an event of this magnitude, I think as Bob so well put, you know, puts dreams in young people, puts dreams in corporations, and puts dreams into our country. You know, and that's, I think, what invigorates our society. And once you lose a perspective of looking forward to something or dreaming about something, you know, you almost have a dead society. And, you know, the Olympics gives you that, that tremendous moment of glory for yourself or your country or for your sport. And, you know, money can be spent in a million other ways, and I don't think that money's going to be taken away from the health care or other issues to be given to the Olympics. But in essence, you know, we live in a society that has to be well-rounded, and, you know, sports does make our society well-rounded, and the Olympics, in when you look at it, is almost the pinnacle of sports glory, and, you know, why not share in that?
It's true. We do have a really good opportunity. How about you, Louis? What are your sort of final thoughts for today on the show, but more about your perspective and how we can be really gracious hosts in this city? What can we do right from the ground up?
Well, I agree with both what Bobby and Coach was saying about those immediate factors and what the Olympics can do for us. But if I could add something, it'd be about this is a chance for us to have pride in ourselves as individuals, mm-hmm. as athletes, as people of this community, helping each other mm-hmm. to make this city proud of what it is, the heritage it has, mm-hmm. and in this country to be proud. And we have an opportunity with the Olympics to be like a family. We're going to meet and involve ourselves and work with people we haven't, we don't know yet, mm-hmm. we haven't met yet. But I think by the time 2010, this city is going to feel like a family, and it's going to be a thrill to be a part of it in 2010, because when you see your athletes strive and work hard at something they do, and really when it comes down to the final 2 weeks, it is about the athletes. There's a lot of work behind that that's got mm-hmm. those kids there, and it's going to be nice to see the kids wearing the red white mm-hmm. and walking into that stadium at BC Place in 2010.
It is so true, and we do have so much to be proud of. Those kids work hard, but we all benefit as a country from their hard work, even if we never directly had anything to do with it. We do benefit, and I think it's really important for us to be gracious hosts in this city and to really begin to, as we're saying, sharpen the focus on sports. Let's get back to the core values of the purpose of sports in the first place. Let's remember why we're here. Let's love our kids. Let's build them up. Let's do what we can for them. Be good parents to them. Support them when we can. I'm a single parent. I know the struggles with supporting kids, but I can do it. You can do it. We can get out there and be great for our kids and help them to become the best people they can be. Well, I'd like to thank you guys. Thanks, Coach Wally, Louie, and Bobby for joining me today.
Thank you, Candace.
Thank you, Candace.
It's been great having you here. And I just want to remind everyone to check out the website at www.unlockingsecrets.com. You can look up the information on the BC Lions, on the White Caps, on Sport BC and the Kids Sport Program to begin to encourage our athletes and kids. And as well, thank you to Leilani Copps, sweetleilani.com for her makeup and her 15% of donations that go to the Vancouver Burn Unit. So that's been, I'm your host, Candace Newton. It's been Unlocking Secrets for Women here on 1410 C Fun, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on C Fun, 1410 AM. The proceeding has been a paid program sponsored by CDN Instructional Services.